morning again to all of you. We're glad that you're here for our Sunday morning service, and we look forward to this is our fifth Sunday fellowship day, and so we're after the service. We'll have a pizza dinner together, and you're all invited to stay for that. And we do want to pray for our pastor. He's away. I know you're used to seeing him instead of this ugly, weird-looking thing up here, but we're glad he was able to go away for a few days for their 30th anniversary, and they're heading back tonight sometime to remember them in prayer. We're going to begin by turning in our hymn books, please, to number 620. 620. We want to sing What a Wonderful Savior, number 620. And as we sing, let's meditate on how wonderful our Lord truly is as we sing each of these phrases of all the things that He's done for us. Let's stand together, number 620. Our heads for prayer this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can be here today, and we thank you that we do have a wonderful Savior that we can serve. Father, as we think of these things that you've done for us, our atonement, reconciliation, redemption, reigning and ruling in our hearts, and the power you give for us to live each day, Lord, we don't deserve 1 ounce of this grace and this mercy. But Lord, we are very grateful and thankful for our Savior, Jesus Christ, that through Him we can be accepted of God. Through Him we are restored to our Creator God, and we can fellowship with Him each day. Father, we do look forward to being with you for all of eternity. And Lord, as we live in these days, it seems that your return is very imminent. And Father, I just pray that in light of that, we would be watching, waiting, living, be busy about the Father's work. Father, give us, each and every one of us, a heart of service for the things that you've called us to do. Forgive us for our pride, our selfishness, Lord, our complaining, our murmuring, the many things that we often do in our flesh that are displeasing to you. Father, forgive us of those things and help us to live a pure and holy life before thee. Lord, we have many things happening this week here at our school and our ministry, and we just ask you to bless the Yak soccer program as registration begins. Bless our school as we begin to have our teachers back, and so many different things are happening there. Just undertake for each one, help each teacher to be ready. And Lord, every single student that we have at Santa Rosa Christian School this year, from 2 years old all the way up to our seniors in high school,
Father, we need your grace. They need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, bless those that are already trusting in you to grow this year. Many, Lord, no doubt, that have not trusted you yet. And we pray that this year they would give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to have a spiritual ministry first and foremost. Lord, I ask that you'd bless our service today and our church family that's here. Many are in difficult situations or in sickness going through, and we are glad that we can be here to worship you, and I pray you'd free our minds from distractions, that we would truly serve you this morning in our worship service. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. You may be seated. We'll turn over now to number 220. No one ever cared for me like Jesus, number 220. Turn out to number 646. 646, I know this is familiar. We don't really sing it a lot, but it's I Believe in Miracles. It's a,
a good message here because we've seen what the Lord's done in our heart to redeem us. I believe in miracles, number 646. No introduction because we know him for many years, served overseas in China, and we thank the Lord for his ministry. And he's going to speak to us this morning, the message on his heart. But before he does that, we've got another treat. We have Donnie and Carly are going to come, and they're going to sing a song for us.
Turn my gaze away from you and say, Thank you very much, young people. That should be the prayer of our hearts this morning, isn't it? Lord, I need you. That's one of my favorites. Thank you so much. Well, good morning. It's so good to stand here and look out across this sea of faces. Some new faces, some old faces, some new wrinkles on old faces, some gray hair, some less hair. After these 20 plus years of coming and being here, it's always great to come back. And I would be amiss to not take a moment to thank you for your faithfulness, for your help, for your support, most importantly, for your prayers and for your love. I still remember standing here the very first time sharing that I was taking away one of your own to China 20 years ago, and mouths fell open and gasps were heard. And where in the world? What are you going to do? And 20 years later, we're still here and we're still going back and forth. And we are thankful for the opportunity that the Father's given. This past week, there's been several comments about how long or short this message is going to be. Just want you to keep in mind, when I teach in China, I have an hour and a half class. So you can take that for whatever you think that means. But that's where we are this morning. It is good to see you, and we're going to look at two passages today. You can go ahead and open, first of all, to Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 to 22. And if you find that place, you can then turn to Psalm 78. A couple of ground rules as we get started this morning. First of all, we're going to fly at about 30,000 feet this morning, okay? We're not going to get into the deep, nitty-gritty, all the little details and all of those kinds of things. We're going to take a big picture view of this passage, and I hope that by doing so, I whet your appetite to dig deeper on your own. Second ground rule is that this message is for me. I have been wrestling through a lot of these things, and some of these things the Father has reminded me of, and some I'm still trying to figure out. And so I hope that by sitting here today, it'll bless you in the process. It has been a blessing to me, and just keep that in mind. In these two passages, we're going to see information and a record of a journey from two very different perspectives. The first passage here in Exodus is Moses writing from the beginning of this journey. He's writing it as a historical record as it happens. Now, I'm not saying that he's necessarily sitting in the wilderness writing these words as he goes. I don't know exactly when he decided to write these things down. But he's writing from the perspective of eyewitnesses. He's writing from the perspective of the person who is experiencing the journey firsthand. In Psalm 78, we have a record of this same journey from a historical perspective looking back. A record of this journey to remind the children of Israel about their past, what they should have learned from that journey, and how that should affect their life today. Nothing I'm going to say this morning is anything new that you've never heard before. Repetition aids learning, right? Is that true, Dr. Watt? Repetition aids learning. And we need to be reminded, just as the children of Israel needed to be reminded over and over and over again about the journey they were on. Folks, mankind, from the first day of creation, the children of Israel began a journey here in this context. In this context, the children of Israel were actually continuing a journey that started with their father Abraham, their forefathers Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, those men that they had heard about in the past. They had spent over 400 years in Egypt in slavery and bondage without the power to make their own decisions, without the power to make their own choices, without any question about what they were going to be doing that day. They got up every day knowing exactly what was going to happen because they had lived in slavery and they knew that they were off to the brick mines to make bricks. As this journey begins, we have a journey and a record of a journey from slavery to a place they've never seen before. A world of unknowns, where they don't know what life is going to be like, where they don't know what to expect. But they've heard stories. It mirrors the journey their father Abraham made when he left his homeland and went to a land that God said, I will show you. What faith? Have you ever thought about what faith that took? I mean, we just journeyed from China to America through multiple flights, multiple countries, multiple airports, and the months of planning that it took on my part to try to feel comfortable getting on that first airplane. And Abraham got up one day and God said, I want you to go over here somewhere, just follow me. I'm going to show you a place, and when you get there, I'll tell you you're there, and then I'm going to give it to you. Wow. The children of Israel are facing that kind of journey. They are leaving a place of slavery, but it's a place of familiarity. Are you with me? You know what? Sometimes in our own lives, we're more willing to stay in slavery because it's familiar than to take a journey to an unknown, even though it leads to inheritance and freedom. The children of Israel were exactly in that situation. They've seen God's hand at work. God is prepared to take them on a journey from what they know to something that they don't know. From a place of slavery, in bondage, and pain, to a place of prosperity, promise, and inheritance. But the journey, see, there's a journey to get from point A to point B. It doesn't just snap your fingers. This isn't Star Trek. There's no transporters. I wish there were. Boy, that would have been nice from China to hear this last time. No transporters, no beam me up, Scotty. There's a journey. And sometimes it's the journey that's actually the most important part. And yet it's the journey that sometimes we miss the whole point of. And so this morning, as we look at this particular passage, I want you to put yourself in the mind and in the shoes of the children of Israel as they start this journey. You are also on a similar journey. From the moment you prayed and asked God to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and to be a part of your life, you started a journey from slavery to freedom. You started a journey from pain and in bondage to freedom and inheritance and blessing. Now, we're not there yet. We're still on the journey, right? Right? Okay. See, that way I know you're not asleep. You're still with me, okay? So help me out here. Because if I think you're asleep, I just get louder and I go longer. All right? Amen. Now we got all kinds of people. All right? So, we started that same journey. We continue that journey. Do you realize that that's the whole story of the book that we hold so dear, is the journey from slavery to freedom? That's what it's all about. Whether it's the story of the children of Israel, whether it's the story of Abraham, whether it's the 12 apostles as they join in this new kingdom, wherever you look, the story of this book is that journey. And this morning, I want you to put yourself in their shoes on that journey. Now, whenever we take a journey, we have some choices. Because God loves us, He has a plan, He knows what's best, but He gives us choices in the path that we take. Sometimes, the path might look a little bit like this. These are some pictures from where we've lived for the last 4 years in China. We live in a high mountain desert. Never quite knew what a high mountain desert was until I got there. It's a very unique place. It has its own beauty, maybe not so green, so lush. Beautiful mountains, and in the winter, the snow caps are just incredible. Sometimes the path we take is like this. There might be some obstacles. It might even look a little barren, but we see the path clearly. You with me? We know that if we follow this path, it's going to get me from point A to point B. Sometimes the path looks a little bit more like this. For some of you who are afraid of heights, you just looked at that and you went, ugh. One of my daughters looks at that and she says, I ain't going there. And the other one said, Dad, let's go. See, sometimes the path, we might see the path, but it's kind of scary. We're not sure if we really want to get on that swinging bridge and how much it's going to swing. And sometimes, as we begin this journey, it looks more like this. You say, what path? Exactly. There is a path there all the way up to the top of that highest peak, but it's very hidden. Unless you're on it, you don't even see it. In fact, at times, it's hard to even see when you're on it. Which path do you choose? See, the Father gives us a choice, doesn't He? We tend to gravitate to that clear, flat, straight path. Right? Or is that just me? You with me? We don't want to get lost. We don't want to have to climb over any rocks or mountains. We want an easy yellow brick road all the way to Oz. And yet, by choosing that path, many times we choose the path that's not best for us. I want to challenge you this morning as we look at these paths and consider the journey that all of us are on, to embrace the unseen path. To embrace the path that looks more like this. In my classes at times, every year for at least one of my subjects, I'll ask the question, and I'll ask the students to come up with synonyms to the word challenge. Now, I'm an English teacher, so I have to use technical things like synonyms, and I have to do this English stuff, right? And so a synonym, right, is a word that has a similar meaning, different word, similar meaning. So what are some words that are similar to challenge? They never come up with the word opportunity. And so I always give them that one at the end. Challenges are opportunities. Unseen paths are filled with challenges. They are filled with opportunities. So let's look at the unseen path a little bit from these two passages. Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, a familiar passage. Just to set the context for us again, the children of Israel, they've been in Egypt, they've been in bondage, they've been servants over 400 years. They've heard stories about this promised land and about this forefather, Abraham. And here they are. Finally, this guy named Moses has come on the scene. Some of them had heard about him. He lived in the king's house for a little while, and he's one of us. But he disappeared for 40 years. And now he's back. He's got gray hair like I do. His beard, I hope, is a bit longer than mine. And here he is talking to Pharaoh on our behalf. And we're not sure if we trust him or not. What is he really up to? These plagues start coming. Our life gets harder in some ways. And the long story of all of this, after the death of the firstborn in Egypt, Pharaoh says, please just get out of town. I'm tired of talking to you. I'm tired of looking at you. I'm tired of dealing with you. Go away. And they're ready. They're standing on the edge, verse 17, and they're faced with a choice of a path. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. The way of the wilderness. We're going to embrace the wilderness path today, okay? The way of the wilderness through the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel. Joseph had faith that this day would come, even from beyond the grave. He said, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Don't leave me behind. Don't even leave my bones behind. I want to be in the land of promise with the rest of you, even though I'm not really here anymore. Verse 20, and they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and led them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Let's pause here for a brief word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love and kind and gentle mercies to us every day. We thank you for the privilege that we have of being here in this place, in your presence. You've promised us that when we join together in your name, that you join here with us. Because you came with us, we brought you here in our hearts and in our lives. I pray, Father, that you would take the words that are spoken this morning, the words from this book, the words of explanation, and for those, Father, that need to be encouraged, I pray, Lord, that you would bring encouragement to their hearts. For those of us that need conviction, convict us where we need to be convicted. And Father, if there be anyone here today who has never even begun the journey with you, I pray that today would be the day when they join the camp and they join the journey following you each day. I pray, Father, once more that you would just cleanse my heart and my mind of anything that would hinder you from working here today. Give me the words that need to be spoken. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech, that I would not get in the way of what you want to say. For it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. The children of Israel are leaving Egypt behind. What they've known for hundreds of years and generations, to go to a place they've never seen. They know from their experience that about 2 weeks' journey from Egypt to Canaan. But that's the way of the Philistines. There was this a major trade route that ran across the north edge, right along the sea there. They had had the blessings of spoiling the Egyptians. The Egyptians basically paid them to leave town. They filled up their SUVs with all the food they could carry and all the gold they could carry. They got new cell phones, new iPhones, new computers. They've got everything. They've got everything a new country needs to get started. And they're leaving thinking, we got about 2 weeks. We got 2 weeks. Two weeks. This is easy. And God said, uh-uh. Don't you love it when God says, uh-uh? I don't know if he really says uh-uh or not, but I'm from the South. So everything God says to me is Southern, okay? Uh-uh. I don't think so. Because right here in this passage, God knew exactly what they needed. Here's a couple of things. First thing that I want us to focus on from this passage is I want us to focus on how God leads. When God leads, he seldom uses the expected path. Have you noticed that? You sit down, you look at the maps, you get out your GPS, you figure out exactly what's the best route. Now, I do a lot of traveling. I always want the shortest path. I tell Lizzie, that's the name of my GPS, no tolls unless it makes things shorter. And when I get in the car, I know exactly how long it's supposed to take me, how many miles it's going to take, and I don't stop till I get there. My wife and children love that about my driving on trips. Why? Because I want to get to where I'm going. I have an expected path. And then what happens? You get to Atlanta and the whole plan falls apart. Because those people don't know how to build roads in Atlanta. They are always building them and they never are finished. And so you have to detour and you have to go around this and you have to go around that. And your whole plan, and then Lizzie starts recalculating. Right? Oh boy, Lizzie can do some recalculating. Now listen, when the Father is leading, we might think we know the best path. But he never, almost never takes us down the expected path that we're going to take. And the reason is because he knows better than we do. Here, he knew that that path, that shortcut, was monitored by the Egyptian armies. It led through the land of the Philistines. And the children of Israel were marching into the land of the Philistines to take their land. And he knew they weren't going to be down for that. And he knew that when the children of Israel faced that opposition, there was going to be fear. There was going to be challenge. There was going to be angst. And the first thing they were going to want to do is turn around and go home. Now, that was the first thing they wanted to do anyway. But it wasn't because of the path God put them on. It was because of their own selfishness. God put them on the unexpected path, but he also put them on the path that was best for them. Because they had just spent generations in Egypt seeing the gods of Egypt, worshiping the gods of Egypt, living every day, not even thinking about what their next day was going to be. And their whole life was about to change. And God knew that the only way He could reveal Himself to them fully and prepare them for what was coming is that they spend a little bit of time in the wilderness. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think promised land, I don't think wilderness. Do you? And yet, if you look at pictures of the promised land, there is a lot of wilderness there. Isn't that interesting? When I knew I was going to go move from probably a tropical rainforest in Sichuan to a desert in Ningxia, I thought, oh my word, what in the world are we going to do? But it's interesting that in the wilderness, you began to see things that you've never seen before. And God knew that the children of Israel had some things that they needed to see and experience that they had never seen before. And He knows that about us too. You see, you don't see things about God in the wilderness the same way you do when you're on top of the mountain. You don't see the same things about God when you're going through those lush forests and those beautiful pastures. As the sheep wander and they follow the Father and all these, that beautiful picture that we have of Jesus leading us. There are things we miss about Him when we're in those worlds. That when you're in the wilderness, you see a whole new picture. When we were in Sichuan with the mountains and the green trees, we almost never saw the sun. Because there was so much humidity in the air, it was a constant haze. Maybe 5 days out of the year, the sun would come out and we'd go outside and we'd just stand there, try to soak up as much vitamin D as we could get. But I'll tell you what, in the wilderness, you see the sun every day. And you see colors in the sun that you haven't seen in other places. And you see colors in the sand and in different things that you've never seen. We were able to go out. Sometimes we would just drive out into the desert to watch the wild camels as they wandered through the desert, or the wild horses. Things we had never seen in our life. Folks, when we follow God through that wilderness path, we see Him in ways. We see things in our lives that we don't see otherwise. I think it's important to remember that for the children of Israel, before they took this path, that God actually prepared them for the path that He chose for them. And He does the same for us too. If you will, look at verse 18. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. I remember reading this passage when I was younger, and I had this picture of children of Israel harnessed to wagons, pulling them through the wilderness. Now, in a sense, that's what's happening, but that's not literally what's saying. The word harness here means that they were prepared, they were organized. They weren't just running like a fleeing group of people from an army. Moses had them organized in structures, in companies. Some were identified as soldiers, perhaps with weapons to help defend the group. Family groups. Everybody was accountable to everybody. They had everything ready. How did Moses know how to do that? From the years he spent in Pharaoh's house. Have you ever thought to go back and study and think about all the things that Moses learned in those years in Pharaoh's house that he needed to get the children of Israel through the land of the wilderness? He prepared Moses, but he prepared them. He had them ready for the journey and the path that he chose for them. He doesn't just prepare us for the path, he actually clears the path before us. This one's important to remember. In verse 17 it says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although it was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent, see war, and return to Egypt." Verse 18, "But God led the people about." Verse 21, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and night in a pillar of fire." Folks, we forget this one. I'm thankful for the last one, and I'm going to give you a sneak peek. The last one is God is our companion on this journey. I'm thankful for that. But I'm even more thankful that He blazes the trail in front of us. Because that means if there's an obstacle that I have to face on that journey, it's He's left it there for me. It wasn't by accident. If there's an obstacle that I don't need, He moves it out of the way. Can you imagine how comforting it would have been to be the children of Israel in the wilderness, thousands of people? You can't see Moses. But to look up and say, we're going in the right direction, we're still with the group, we've got a cloud in the daytime. Or at night, to be able to see that fiery pillar. In Chinese tour groups, I love it. Except for when I'm in a Chinese tour group, because then I hate it. But I love watching the Chinese tour groups, because they go from place to place to place. They don't stop. Basically, you run by and you say, that's nice, and you keep going. Now, the reason I have my hand up is because there's a tour guide out in front, and they carry a little flag. Because in China, there's so many people, and when you go to a place of interest, there's so many different tour groups. Every tour guide has their own little flag and their own little color, so they don't lose anybody. Kindergarten teachers, you know what I'm talking about, right? That's the way the adults go through the tour group. They all have their matching hat. They all have their matching t-shirt. The tour guide has their flag, and off they go. Why? Because the tour guide wants to make sure that they don't lose any of the people. Because they want to make sure they clear the path for the people in their group. And God does the exact same thing for us. That way we have confidence that when life has struggles, and it does, doesn't it? When life has difficulties, when life has hurdles, when life has rocks that we have to climb because we can't really find the path, that if it is there in front of us, God's already been there. And if we didn't need it, He would have moved it. But He didn't. So what does that tell us? I wonder what I should be learning from this. You with me? We don't have to question if He loves us. We don't have to question if He's with us. We don't have to question the mistakes or whatever, because we know He's blazed the trail in front of us. And He doesn't just blaze the trail and run ahead. He stays with us. In verse 22, it says, He took not away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night. Could you imagine waking up in the middle of the night in the middle of the desert, children of Israel, and the fire went out? And I'm not talking about the campfire right outside the tent. I'm talking about the big fire. Far. Remember, I'm Southern. Far, that's fire. Okay, the big far. The big far is gone. Did we miss something? Was there an announcement? I mean, I had my alarm set. They told us. He didn't take it away. Why? Because He wanted them to know He was with them. Did He not do the same for His own apostles before He went to heaven? I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm sending a comforter for you. One who's going to teach you and remind you and prepare you and equip you and go with you each and every day. Folks, we don't have to be afraid of the path through the wilderness or the unseen path because of all of these things. When God leads, these things are true. He's chosen a path that might be unexpected, but it's what's best for us. He's prepared the path for us. He clears the path. He prepares us for the path, and He travels with us along the path. Now, folks, I don't know what path you're facing right now. I don't know what choices you're in. Some of you might be on a path in the wilderness right now and kind of scratching your head saying, oh, what is going on? Folks, I want to remind you and encourage you, God is there with you. Even if it doesn't feel like it, even if you can't see Him, even if He's not in the form of a big far, He's still there. And He's blazing the trail for you. And He's listening for your voice. And He's ready to answer when you call to Him. Our time's almost up, and I'm only halfway done. Turn with me very quickly over to Psalm 78. I'm going to talk really fast, and you listen really fast. Okay? And I'm going to hit a couple of things here. And I'm going to trust you to go back and look at this psalm. Some of you just looked and noticed there's over 50 verses in this psalm. Please don't panic. We're not going to read them all. Okay? I'm going to give you the highlights, and I'm going to give you the verse breakdown as to where each idea comes from. You can go through. You can look at it. But here's the thing. When God leads, We only benefit from His leading if we follow. Have you ever seen that hat? Hi, I'm their leader. Where did they go? Have you ever seen that? Okay, God doesn't wear that hat, by the way. He knows where we've gone. Now, it's not unusual. He could wear that hat because many times we choose to take this path when He wants to take us on this one. But He knows where we are. He knew where Adam and Eve was when He asked, "Where are you?" Right? And He knows exactly where we are when we're not following after Him. But if we choose to follow Him where He leads, even on the unseen path, even through the wilderness that is uncomfortable and unfamiliar, there are some great things that come from that. Number one, we experience God's power in ways that we've never seen it before. We experience God's power in ways that we've never seen it before. If God had led the children of Israel through the way that was near by the way of the Philistines, we would have never had the story of the parting of the Red Sea. In verses 12 through 14, here in Psalms, the writer is reminding the children of Israel from the past, remember the power of the God that we follow and serve. Remember His abilities. Not just from the moments when He spoke into existence everything that is, but remember from your history, your life, what God has done for you. Do you remember when He stood the waters up on the edge? If you go back to Exodus in the passage, you'll see that Moses says, stand still and see the power of God. The children of Israel are saying, were there not graves in Egypt? You brought us out here to die? And He says, hang on a minute. I got something you need to see. And in that reassurance, He says, now watch. God is going to deliver you, and He's going to wipe out the army of Egypt so that you will never see them again. Go back and look in Exodus. That's exactly what He says. The waters part and they stand up, and the children of Israel march through on dry ground. Can you imagine how that could happen? Folks, people question where that happened, and if it was the Reed Sea or the Red Sea. I don't know what's more amazing, that He split the Red Sea or He drowned the Egyptian army in that much water. Either way, God did amazing things. You with me? Folks, if we can't get excited about the power of God in our lives, what are we? And if we're always seeking the mountaintop, we will never see His power manifest in us the way that He wants to show it. Because it's not until we get in those wilderness moments where we can't see the path and we don't see where the answers are coming from and we don't know where the grocery money's coming from and we don't know how we're going to do this and we don't know if we're going to be able to go back to where our home is and we don't know this and we don't know that and we don't know the other, that we stop and see the power of God revealed to us. Because we're too busy doing it ourselves. You with me? Wow, I'm not talking fast enough. We experience God's power. We experience God's provision. In verses 15 to 19, the psalmist here is writing, he's reminding the people, you were fed with the food of angels. God rained manna from heaven. Are you listening to me? The food of angels? What? When you were thirsty, He split the rock and ran a river. Okay, we've all been, well, we haven't all. People my age, we've been in Sunday school, we've seen the flannel graph, right? The rock with the little trickle of water that kind of comes in. He gave water to 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people. He put a river in the wilderness. Can you imagine first the size of the rock and the size of the river that had to come out of there to give all those people that water? Oh my word. The provision that we can't even begin to comprehend. And the psalmist is, remember what God did for you. And when that wasn't good enough and you wanted some meat, He sent you more than you could eat. Now, I don't know about you. There's a part of me that kind of liked that challenge. because I am a meat eater, okay? And I don't know that I've ever sat down to a table with meat that was good meat, especially North Carolina barbecue, that I couldn't eat just about all I could. I've never been at a place where I couldn't eat any, a little bit more, just one more bite. They had so much quail, they couldn't eat it all. But you know what? God not only met the physical, but he met the spiritual and the emotional needs. In verses 5 to 10 and in Exodus 19 and 20, we see that God not only met what they needed physically, but he gave them a purpose. He gave them his will. He gave them his law. He made a covenant with them. I'll let you study that. That's a month of study right there. Okay, I'll let you study that out. Folks, we need purpose in our life. And the greatest purpose is his purpose. We need direction. And the only direction that makes any sense is his law. You look at the world around us. What happens when we abandon God's law? Just turn on the 6 o'clock news. Or the 2 o'clock news, or the 3 o'clock news, or the 4 o'clock news, or any other time o'clock news you want to turn on. That's what we get without his direction. He has provided for us a compass that saves us. Folks, if there was no heaven and no eternal, no benefit, just the Christian life that we get to experience here on this earth and the direction and the purpose and the protection and the things that come here in this world, it would be worth it. Can you imagine living that lifestyle every day? I don't know how they keep up with it all. But it's not just that, is it? It's so much more. We also experience his purification. I'm going to jump on and jump off this one really, really quick because we all love this part. In verses 30, while the meat was still in their mouth, they were disobedient, they were complaining, and what did God do? He smote the fattest of them, the strongest of them. We know from the story of the children of Israel, they died from eating too much quail. They died from the fiery serpents. And if you take time to read all the way to verse 35, you'll see we call it the wilderness wanderings. There were no wanderings. It was all intentional. The scripture tells us that God intentionally moved them around in their vanity in order to clean them out. There was no mistake. Moses didn't get lost. The GPS didn't recalculate too long. Okay? There is purification that takes place in our lives when we go through the wilderness and we follow him. But we also see his patience. How many times did God have the right to go, whoo-boom! And that pillar of fire just engulfed the whole group. In fact, at one point he told Moses, I think I'll just take them out. Didn't he? Verses 36 to 42, you'll see his patience. It says, he was reminded that they are only flesh. They are a wind that passes. And he was patient. And even when the people came back over and over again, saying the right things with their mouth and having the wrong heart, he still said, I forgive you. That's the God I want to follow. It's the God I need to follow. Finally, it's all for preparation. Verses 52 to 55, he was preparing the children of Israel for the inheritance. Remember, we're on a journey, right? He was preparing them for the inheritance. He brings them up to the edge of the land, to the mountain that he bought with his own hand, the scripture says, and he gets them ready to go in. Everything that's happened before is preparation for that moment. Folks, everything that happens in our life, God doesn't waste any of it. It is all in preparation for what's next. Why doesn't God, when we get up off of our knees and say amen after we've asked for his forgiveness, snap us up to be with him? Wouldn't that be awesome? Would be for me. Not so much for the people who still need to hear. Why does he leave us here? Because we're on a journey. Because he's preparing us for something. Because he wants us to see him and understand things that we can't understand without being on this journey. All right, here's it. If you've been sleeping all morning, wake up for this one. I don't know how you've been sleeping. I'm sweating. Here's it. This is the whole deal. When God leads and we follow, two things. We don't need to see the path. We only need to see the leader. I don't need to know where the path is going. I just need to be able to see the leader. I've just got to see the big far. That's all I need. Now, that's easier said than done, folks. I know, he's the guy that works overseas. He's got it all together. That ain't easy. Sorry, pardon my English. That's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. Keeping our eyes on the leader and not worrying about the path is one of the hardest things we as humans have to do. But I tell you, there's nothing like it. Letter B, we don't need to know the answers. We only need to trust the one who does. I don't have to know where the next quail's coming from. I hope it's not from the place the last quail came from. That didn't go well. I don't have to know where the next water's coming from. I don't have to know where the next man is coming from. I don't have to know where the next shoe store is. You know, they didn't even need a shoe store, ladies. Men, I shouldn't say ladies. Men, some of us, they didn't need a shoe store. 40 years. Shoes never wore out. That's a bummer. No new shoes for 40 years. Clothes didn't wear out. Nothing wore out. We don't have to know the answers. Folks, listen. We came home this time with far more questions than we have answers. I don't know if we'll ever be able to go back. I pray we will. We've prepared to do so. But I don't know. Watch the news. There's a lot. I mean, there's stuff happening that I wouldn't have imagined 6 months ago would have happened, much less 6 years ago. Right? I don't know. We trust, we follow, and we wait. And we wait for His power. We wait for all the other, His provision and all the things we've talked about. You've been very gracious, and I'm sorry I've gone over time. But I hope something that was said here this morning will go with you out these doors as you leave today. Whether you're facing a journey yourself and a path that you're unsure of, and you're like, Brother Don, my path is kind of like that one right there. I can't even see the path. I don't even know which way to go. It's okay. Look for the leader. Look for the leader. But I don't know what I need to do. It's okay. Follow the leader, and He'll tell you what you need to know when you need to know it. If we can do those two things, Milton will never be the same. Santa Rosa Christian School will never be the same. Grace Bible Church will never be the same. Because that's what it means to walk in faith. That's what it means to trust Him with all of our heart and lean not into our own understandings, in all of our ways acknowledging Him and letting Him direct our path. Father, we thank You for Your love for us and for Your kind and gentle mercies. I thank You for the patience of Your people, for their kindness. And I pray that You would somehow take this frail attempt to communicate what's in my heart and to communicate what's in Your Word in such a way that it'll stick with us and go with us and change the way we walk with You each day. We love You, and we say we trust You. And I pray that as we leave this place, we might demonstrate that trust in the way we follow You. For it's in Your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's close with number 206, very familiar hymn, that the Lord leads us. Number 206, we've heard a tremendous message this morning, a great blessing to my heart, to focus our attention and our minds on, what are we looking at? Are we looking at the Lord? Are we following Him? He's done it all. And we get in the way and we get in the mix and we just mess it all up. And you know what? The Lord is still patient and He still just makes the path. I really appreciate the message. It's a blessing to me, especially going into a new school year. So thank you, brother. Let's stand together and sing number 206, that first verse.
Mother, I do where I live.
thank you again so much for the message that we've heard. We truly do serve a great God, very patient with us, long-suffering. He's made a path for us and has everything in that path that we need, to be able to grow and to trust you more. Now, Father, I ask that we would continue to follow after you and trust in you, even though we can't see and we don't understand. And I thank you, Father, so much for this message. Bless each family that's here, each one, our visitors as well, and we ask your blessing on our fellowship time to follow in Christ's name. Amen.